medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the manager of business applications at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. As many folks know, we were both at Blueprint 4D in Las Vegas last week. So, Paul, are you back and recovered?
Recovered? No. Back? Sure. No, I am. How do they say that? The struggle bus is, I'm on the struggle bus,
right?
You're on the struggle bus.
It's, the struggle is real. Yeah. Unlike some who maybe get to go home a day or two early, I ended up having to stay an extra day and then head up to Oregon to celebrate my oldest daughter's graduation from the University of Oregon. She got her degree in art history. So the party continued, and I just got back yesterday. So yeah, today is, I'm dragging a little bit, just slightly. So,
well, congratulations to your daughter. That's an awesome accomplishment. I can imagine you're a very proud father. So
Absolutely. And then in other news, well, I'm glad we're doing this. Yeah, this is perfect timing, or maybe not so much. Given how much of a struggle it was to make my coffee this morning, we might second guess our decision here as to whether or not you want to record with me today. So apparently, like I said, the struggle is real. As I tried to first open the creamer, I decided to throw basically the cap and everything away rather than just the pull tab. Not the first time I've done that, mind you. But then when I dove into the trash to try to find it, the trash can lid slammed shut on my head. So that's currently laying somewhere in my kitchen. I then decided to open up the collagen because that was new, and it had one of these little pull tab things that you got to rip like a zipper around the top. Well, it broke off halfway. Of course it did. So then you got to get like the scissors out because my fingers are too big to fit in there. And I tried to pop that out. And of course, as I'm popping the darn thing, it's just breaking and pieces of it are flying across the kitchen. And you can imagine my patience is just growing at this point.
I can only imagine how this was going. How many words were coming out of your mouth? Four-letter, inappropriate words.
Finally got that open. And yeah, there's no scoop. So I had
you're kidding.
Nope, no scoop. So I had to get the spoon out and dish, you know, so I'm like, okay, well, now that I got my creamer in there, I got my scoop of collagen in there. So you get out the stir stick, the stirrer, the electric stirrer, and I press the button. It doesn't do anything. It just buzzes at me. Bzz. I'm like, I look at the battery, fully charged, thing won't move. It's busted. So that's currently in the trash can that's laying in the kitchen somewhere. So,
well, at least I had dipped it in the kitchen and didn't like completely throw it across the room. Like that, yeah, that's a good start.
I mean, walls are intact. This is good.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I had to whisk my coffee this morning. So like you're making scrambled eggs. Yeah, I'm making coffee. Made no sense. Anyway, that's how my day's going. But how about you?
Wow. I guess I got nothing. I don't know. I'm back in Florida. It's unlike Vegas, which was just really hot and dry.
Yeah.
It's hot and humid. So I went from one kind of hot where your sweat pretty much evaporates to a kind of hot where your sweat does not evaporate. So I'm not sure which one is better. I don't know. It was nice to not sweat so much. And now I'm back to, wow, you go for a run and you're like, did I just take a shower? Because that's kind of what it feels like.
That's what it feels like. Yeah, you didn't realize you dove in the lake.
Right.
You just ran through it. No.
Which you don't want to do down here because there's alligators in there. So not a good idea.
Well, I say, you know, I got up to Oregon and it was a nice 65 degrees and sunny. And it was really refreshing to be able to stand outside in the sun and not feel like you're, you know, getting fried. Right. I mean, I did spend a day at the pool in Vegas prior to the conference, not during the conference. And I flash fried myself 15 minutes on one side, 15 minutes on the other. And that's about all you can take out there when it's 110. So there you go.
Awesome. Well, good. I did not spend any time at the pool. I did try to get down near the pool for breakfast, which was lovely. But unfortunately, I just did not have time for that. So maybe next time I can spend a little time before or after and just chill. Maybe chill. After. Chill.
Yeah. Yeah, I think decompressing after would be, would definitely be good. But I mean, we may as well get into it. I mean, that's, you know, that we're doing the recap. Well, we just recap the rest of our experience there. I mean, attendance was up this year, which was Superfly fantastic. There were a lot of new faces. And I felt, I don't know. I mean, I think the keynotes and the roadmaps, the rooms were completely full. And then, you know, I wasn't able to attend many of the other sessions, but I heard many of those were standing room only as well.
They were. There was definitely standing room only for quite a few, even some of the SIG sessions. So that's phenomenal. That shows that people are engaging and want to be a part of that. I was surprised at the number of sessions I attended where, you know, you asked, is this your first time at Blueprint 4D? And the number of hands that went up, I was just astounded. So super excited to have some new energy coming into the ecosystem and really, really great to see that they're willing to interact and learn about our culture.
Yes. Now we have to get them up to come back the next time, actually sharing their experience and offering up sessions of their own. I think it's, we talked about that with Shannon, right? When we had her on, Shannon Allred, when we had her on our pod, how intimidating it can be. And you may not think that you have anything to contribute to this ecosystem because there's all these brilliant people and they all have so much experience and so much to share that it can be really intimidating for new folks. But we need to do a really good job of embracing the next generation, so to speak, and encouraging them to get up there and share and be supportive. I know we talked a little bit about an idea of almost a mentorship type program, which I think would be awesome. So great to see so many new faces. Great to see so many familiar faces as well. So, you know, we started off the week. I mean, you had to be in a little early because of the EOP, their Emerging Leaders Program, right?
I did have to be in early.
Yeah. What was that experience like?
It was great. So Sunday night, we got together as a group and did kind of a group activity. We did an escape room. So that was really fun. And from that, we got to draw our places for our final presentation. So whether your group was first, second, or third. So, and then we actually had kind of a very good like session that evening as well, Sunday evening, where we just talked about like the top three things in your life that kind of made you who you are. So being very vulnerable with one another as a way to really build an even deeper connection. So that was really obviously some tears in the eyes at some of the stories and, you know, obviously some laughter in there too, but it was a really rewarding evening. Monday morning, we had our capstone project. So as part of the ELP program, we each group, there were three of them, chose a topic to present on. And my group actually chose an AI for Quest project, which was not one that either, I think we highlighted this in our episode where we had my ELP team on, that neither Carla or I were very interested in it. I was a little more than Carla, but our presentation was phenomenal. Again, I can't stress how much I really enjoyed working with Carla, Arul, and Eric, but our presentation went off very well. And in the audience we presented to was the Quest board of directors, as well as all of the mentors, mentees, and sponsors of the people that were enrolled in the ELP program. So we had really good attendance, you know, a nice big room of people to speak to. And our, of course, everyone was like, you know, we had some former board members that were in there that were trying to make motions to get our project approved for Quest, which was cute. But it was fun because then they also asked us some questions, which was really helpful to highlight things that maybe you could focus on either revamping or know for your next presentation that you might do on this. And both of the other groups did an excellent job too. In fact, I need to request some of the resources from their projects for some stuff that I would like to do at my current job. So really enjoyed their projects as well. And then we had a little kind of graduation ceremony, which was quite fun to be. And now we're all alumni. So we're the first alumni of the program. And we did all attend. There was an Emerging Leaders Program session, and a number of us attended that to help answer questions that people who were thinking about the program or maybe wanting to send one of their staff to it could come to, and we could answer any questions they may have had. So, yeah. Awesome. So wrap that one up.
Excellent.
I'll kind of miss it, but we're trying to work on an alumni program. We've talked about like a book club or talked about, you know, ways that we can stay in touch as well now that we're done. So
sounds like a very rewarding experience. And
it was,
you know, hopefully, you know, your guys are able to also be there and be supportive of the next cohort.
Absolutely. Support very cool. And encourage them. Yep. So,
all right. Well, after that, then of course we got into executive forum, and I was able to participate a little bit in that, but not much. So for those that maybe came for the blueprint sessions, but didn't necessarily participate in the executive forum this time around, I mean, what was that experience like? What were your takeaways from there?
I really enjoyed the executive forum. It's not the first time that I have attended it, but it was very rewarding. In fact, I kind of wish it was longer. I gave that feedback already. Like, I felt like half day wasn't enough because we had Martha Heller, who's the CEO of Heller, a specialized technology executive search firm. She did a presentation on rapid change leadership and also highlighted really the importance of connection, which I thought was very appropriate, not only for the JDE connection, but for how connected our Quest community is in general. And then we did some breakout sessions to talk about like leadership and innovation, which was very neat. So we kind of broke up into six groups and we each had different topics to talk about. And that was very interesting to listen to and kind of get people to start talking about what struggles were in their organizations. And it turns out a lot of us all struggle with the same thing. So I guess that makes me feel better.
Well, what is that? What is that same thing that everybody struggles with?
Well, change. Change management is one.
Oh, that's
I feel like a lot of people are struggling with that. A lot of people are struggling kind of with the AI and the how do I adopt this? How do I govern all the data? Because we all have different systems, right? And those systems have different data and different data architecture. How do we govern all this and get it centralized, quote unquote? I don't know what word you want to use, but, you know, so that it can be consumed by AI and not give you hallucinating results. Those were really good topics, I think, that were covered. In addition, Chris Leping and Martha kind of did a session as well, kind of talking about thriving IT teams in action, driving change. Right? Mm-hmm. We all struggle with change, right? Mm-hmm. But as a part of that, they also highlighted the importance of like relationships in the organization. So understanding any good relationship requires communication, right? And it's important to understand your communication style. I learned about two different communication styles during that session. Chris referred to them of observant versus intuitive, and really understanding how people in your organization or especially on your team, how if they're more observant, meaning they really focus on the words, where intuitive maybe more key off the feeling that those words may generate. So really kind of understanding who communicates in which style.
Which style?
And I know there's other, you know, types of testing that you can go through to identify different communication styles through other organizations, right? But he mentioned, I think you can do this through 16 personalities and kind of understand what your communication style is. So yeah, that was really cool. And the other thing that they really highlighted, empathy needs to be a value of the IT organization. We need to be empathetic to those that we support. I don't want to call it the business. That was one thing that became really clear. It's like us and them, right? We're on the same team, really. So I don't want to say we need to be empathetic to the business. We need to have empathy for those that we support.
Mm-hmm. I see that coming up constantly. I mean, it's mm-hmm. constantly a topic because it goes right along with emotional intelligence and which also I think ties to communication style. Again, just being mindful, being present, being aware and staying plugged in. So very cool. I mean, and I hear you on the executive forum duration. I mean, when you get in those tracks like that and they're condensed and you feel like, geez, you could have had 8 hours of that and spread it out over 2 days and gotten maybe a little bit more out of it than trying to condense it all into just 4 hours. But hey, it leaves you wanting more, I suppose. You know, so
true.
For those out there that attended but didn't sign up for that, definitely would recommend taking the executive track at Blueprint 40. It is intended for leadership positions, mm-hmm. decision makers, mm-hmm. So that you get to meet with other decision makers at other companies. And as you discussed, you know, you're sharing one another's challenges and some of their approaches. And then, of course, learning from industry experts out there like Martha and like Chris.
Did you know staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest? Sign up for the free JD Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content, publications, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
Let's move on to day two, which is really day one for some. And that's Chris Lapine's keynote, 8:30 in the morning on Tuesday. He started us off with a bang. I mean, that room was absolutely packed.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
And Chris doesn't allow you to just sit there and consume his content. He requires engagement, I would say.
He does.
He doesn't just encourage, he requires.
No, and he's not going to do death by PowerPoint. I think if he didn't have to have any PowerPoint, he probably wouldn't.
Oh, but he had to have some music, you know, Hamilton.
Well, also true.
Now, unfortunately, I couldn't stay for his entire session because I had to go prep for my own. But I heard nothing but good things throughout the week about Chris's session. People really did take his advice to heart, and it continually came up throughout the week. So I don't know if you felt the same.
I did. He really highlighted the importance of trust and really how to build that. He kind of covered 5 behavioral activities, things, I don't know what you want to call them, concepts, there we go, that really help you build trust. And I loved them. I loved the 5 that he highlighted. I felt like, I don't know, they really resonated with me. I think at one of them, be good at unlearning, just because you've done it that way, you know, be open to learning something different, something new, which did tie into the conference. I'm there to learn something new, to learn something different, to maybe unlearn bad behaviors, quote unquote, that I've picked up through years of being in JDE. There might be something else that I can do, and I can do it different and better. So yeah. Be open to that, right?
I think, I mean, everybody's there to see the latest and greatest and, you mm-hmm. know, what are we delivering and what are other vendors providing, and you're trying to get a sense of what is possible with these products that you own, and you want to take those things back and you want to implement them and you want to show the business what they could be doing. Like, what are they missing? Hey, we have the opportunity. And I think everybody's struggling because the business gets basically stuck in their ways, right? Stuck in their habits. They've done it this way for 15, 20 years. Why not continue? It doesn't seem to necessarily be broken. But then on top of it, you've got the speed of innovation accelerating. AI has got, mm-hmm. you know, having a big impact on the speed of change. And so you've got this struggle where people are potentially caught in the past doing things the old way. And they're getting further and further behind in a shorter time span, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they could be. And that makes that change management even more difficult because it's going to make that change even more stark. And the investment that's going to have to be made to get there, it gets more and more and more. It increases as time goes on. I felt like that ended up being a theme too, like throughout. I mean, it turns out, I mean, obviously when we did our keynote and our roadmap, we had worked in a message about running your JD Edwards like 2005 versus 2025. And that the ERP systems themselves have evolved over the last several decades. And we're no longer just a system of record, but we're actually an appreciating asset that you can invest in and get more out of it than just recording your T account, so to speak, right? And we just wanted to encourage people to really question, how are they using JD Edwards? So we said that in the keynote, and we even pulled Chris up, right, to help people. If you are struggling with that change, what are some of the things that you can focus on to try to get over that hurdle? Because everybody's trying to message up the chain and sell an upgrade or sell an update or sell adoption to their leadership. And how do you do that? How do you staff that? How do you manage that more effectively so that everybody can be taking advantage of this revolution that's going on, right?
Yeah. Well, and you highlighted something there. Always ask why.
Mm.
Right?
Okay, right.
Question. Be a wanderer.
Mm-hmm. Be curious.
That was another, exactly, be curious. And for me, that was another one of my big things that I know I'm curious. I ask why a lot. And I'm not asking why because I want to put you down for what you're doing. I'm asking why because I just am generally curious. I want to understand. I want to learn, right? It goes back to unlearning too. You know, the why can tie back to unlearning, you know? So for me, that really resonated with me that it's okay for me to ask why. Why are we doing this? I need to make sure that people understand I'm not doing it from a sense of because I think I have a better idea than you. I'm doing it because I generally am curious and I generally want to learn.
I mean, I think it's imperative that you do understand why. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to problem solving 101, where if you don't understand the problem itself, if you haven't verified that you actually have a problem that needs to be solved before you start trying to solve things, we're all at risk of doing that these days. We've got these wonderful tools and we want to use them and we want to figure out where we can apply them. And we race forward with trying to apply them where we may not even have an issue, right? We may not, you know, without properly quantifying or qualifying the problems that we think we're addressing with these tools. I think it's very important that everybody take a step back and really do understand the why. Now, I think one of the observations was that we had more AI sessions this time around than orchestrator sessions, which is like the first time in 5 years or something like that, that orchestrator wasn't the number one topic. And that says a lot, right? Because mm-hmm. Orchestrator has been bringing 30, 40 sessions every single conference, and all of a sudden it just got displaced as the leader. But one of the discussions that we had about AI was how it could potentially, I mean, I think it was Shannon Allred again, asked this question, and it got everybody thinking about how AI could potentially cause atrophy within your organization, because as you automate these processes even further, less and less people understand how to do them. And worse, if you haven't documented why, like what was the motivation, what was the intent, what was the purpose behind that process, you're even further at risk in a session. So it's very important to understand the why, because as long as you understand that, you can reverse engineer. You can decompose that automation. You can decompose the process that you have where you've inserted AI to automate certain things and connect the dots as to what it does and how it works and why that solves the problem that you were after. But if you don't understand what the purpose was to begin with, it's going to be very, very difficult. So I think the other thing that's been happening is, I mean, you talked about data governance and how are businesses, as they have all these disparate systems that have all their different data models, what do we do? How do we manage it effectively? But I think the thing that AI is doing is it's shining a light on where organizations lack discipline in developing and documenting, capturing their processes and what they do. Those that have been very diligent about that sort of stuff have documentation that can serve as fuel for AI right now. Those that don't find themselves having to redocument and recapture and redesign existing processes so that they have a starting point. They have to get to that starting point. And this is just putting a spotlight on where they're vulnerable, so to speak, where they're exposed.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know that's a challenge in a lot of organizations where whoever had that knowledge has left the building. And now it's, well, what do we do? How do we, you know, it's been working. It's great. It works. Mm-hmm. Well, if we want to improve it, first of all, why did we do this? Is it still needed? That's a question I ask all the time, you know, especially because we have a lot of customizations that we did per requirements that the business wanted to do something a certain way. And now, do we really need that? Is the business even still doing that? You know, we tore apart our entire address book looking at the CAT code fields to figure out that of all of the CAT code fields, there were maybe like five that were still being actively used.
Yeah.
Because they had been used at one point in time, and then that process changed.
Right. As your requirements evolved, you may have shifted, but you didn't clean up as you go. There was no cleansing as you go, right? So you have customizations in place, and you have other things in place that are just unnecessary. I think, you know, without capturing the why, also, while we talk about unlearning as a method of, you know, maybe framing up a problem slightly differently, looking at it differently, attacking it differently, when you haven't documented the why, you're at risk of relearning. In other words, you probably take the process away. We don't know why this is here. And you may find out the hard way down the road, oh, that's what that was for. And so you really are at risk of relearning, which is not necessarily what we know. That's not the productive. We want the productive unlearning like you do in an S curve. Sometimes you have to go backwards to go forwards. But the relearning is, that you want to protect against.
For me, one of the things you mentioned earlier, 2005 versus 2025, how you're running your JD Edwards. I think some people even threw out the, maybe we're closer to 1995, because I really do think, I mean, I hate to say it, but I really do think there is a lot of that because it's been there and it's worked. Mm-hmm. And why change?
Why change? If the change isn't forced upon them, and this is something that we haven't necessarily done as a product line. We don't take a lot of things away. Mobile being an exception to that. You know, we did take those mobile apps away, but that was also because nobody was able to consume them and use them in their current form. So that's not a big deal. But where things have gotten used and consumed, we tend not to take things away. So we don't force change on our customers. And unfortunately, what that does is it puts us in a position where we are highly dependent on our customers themselves, as well as their business partners, to lay out, update, and upgrade projects that have adoption built in, like time for adoption. And while we were trying to relate with everybody and trying to encourage this idea that get on a good cadence, make adoption and innovation part of your culture so that you can leapfrog ahead, the reality is people do get so far behind that even if they're up to date on their code line, they're not up to date on their utilization. And the investment that they have to make to get there is going to be significant. The further and further behind they get, the larger gap that's going to be. And the harder it is to sell it on the business because nobody wants to spend that money. Where's the give for the get? And then when you start associating that massive cost with every time you hear the word update or upgrade, then you get in that 3 to 5 year cycle where I'm not, you know, I don't want to touch the system for, I don't want to incur that cost, but that's actually counterproductive. And that's where we brought in some customer stories to help validate that you can do this a different way. There are people that are successful. We brought up Stephen Dollard from Dealer Tire, and he talked about, you know, how applying application updates is easy. It's a matter of a few weeks for them. And they actually, they're one of the few that I know of, and I know of only one, and that would be them, that actually do apps ahead of tools. Like almost everybody does tools and does the tech. Tech upgrades. And Steve is one of those, you know, he's got this process ironed out and it works like clockwork. And he takes apps on a regular basis ahead of tools, and then he catches up tools. But he stays, for all intents and purposes, he stays current. And because he's got that process well oiled, then he can focus with the business on here's the net change with each one of these updates. and where you might get value. So the focus isn't on implementation, or well, I'd say implementation in the sense of taking the latest update. The focus is really on adoption and how you can implement the latest and greatest capabilities. And so he was very popular after we introduced him in the roadmap. Alicia Peter from Fulton Hogan talked about their story, and they had to make a really big leap when they went from 9.1 to 9.2. They did basically a re-implementation in the sense that they took an opportunity to rethink how they had structured their JD Edwards, like chart of accounts and many, many other things. And they introduced many new modules to displace custom solutions that they had. And I think that was another story that really resonated with a lot of folks. And she found herself also kind of mobbed afterwards. I want to hear more, want to hear more, want to hear more. So I think one of the things we'll do in future conferences is we had this concept of pit stops for the development teams. And I think that was very popular. If we could do a pit stop with our customer stories as well, where there's that one dedicated time during the week where folks could come up and talk to them. And that way they're not inundated throughout the week with random people coming up and asking them questions that would be beneficial.
Right. That might delay them from getting the sessions they maybe want to get to.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So, no, I think that's great. I love that idea of being able to have some dedicated time with them to ask them questions. How did you get your leadership to buy off on this as well? You know, because that is sometimes the tougher one, is to say, I want to do an upgrade. This is what it's going to cost. This is the timeline that's going to be involved in it. And, you know, there's a gulp behind both of those. Right.
Right.
And then so they want to squeeze both. So yep. Then it becomes not any adoption. I know that's yep. happened, you know, in organizations I've worked for where they end up scrapping the idea of actually capitalizing on the new functionality that exists because it extends the project too long. And then you get up and going and there's still too much work to do to go back and implement some of that. So yep. The struggle is real, as you said earlier today. The struggle is real.
Before we get to our favorite section of the pod, yeah. which of course is the Midwesternism, I'd like to ask you what your favorite, I have a feeling I know the answer to this, but what was your favorite session?
My favorite session was actually called Re-Energize. So it was later in the week. They had Dwayne Hill come in, who's a magician and comedian. And oh my gosh, I laughed so hard. And he did such a good job of making fun of IT people, of course, because we're all not funny, except for me, who laughs at almost everything.
Wait a second. Come on. Well, you can be entertained, so you laugh yes. a lot. I mean, yeah, some of us are funny sometimes.
Or at least maybe. We think we are anyway.
Ooh, ouch.
I'll say that to myself, about myself. I'm not throwing shots at you. I think I'm funny sometimes, and then people don't laugh. And I'm like, oh boy, they don't have my sense of humor, clearly.
Not everybody has the dad joke sense of humor. No.
True story. That I'm known for that. I am absolutely known for that. I will own it, and I will embrace it. Thanks, Dad. Yes, it was I was laughing so hard. Oh my gosh, I think I had tears coming out of my eyes. And I even got called up on stage to participate, which was fun for me. I don't mind that. He called up a lot of people. So that was actually, I was impressed that nobody said, not going up.
Right.
I was impressed that everybody did go up. And it was really, really fun. I really enjoyed that. So it was a really nice break, you know, because you sit in these sessions and you're learning so much. You sometimes feel like you're drinking from, you know, the fire hose, and your brain just gets tired,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So to have that was really refreshing. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. I applaud Quest for arranging that. I mean, that's just what a great way to just everybody take a break, have a good laugh, get truly re-energized and ready for the rest of the week. Because it is a long week. I mean,
yes.
4 or 5 days of nothing but in-depth sessions in Vegas. You know, you're burning the candle at both ends and, you know, it can take its toll. So it's nice to take a breather. All right. With that, why don't we move on to our Midwesternism of the day.
But you forgot to, you know, highlight the other favorite session I had. Our session. We did a lot of podcasts. Come on. That was fun.
I gave you an opportunity. You chose re-energize. I mean, I was like, okay, never mind. Wah, wah.
Ours was second? I don't know.
Okay.
Only because I had to work at it.
Yeah. Well,
there
you
go. I had to prep. I had to put in time, you know.
Yeah. So. I think we need to, we need to get our session maybe a little bit like a day earlier so that we're not at the tail end when both of us are a little bit energy wise. We're starting to struggle. but okay. No, I think but the session was fun. The session was great. I love all the support we get and the interaction. It took a little bit to get people going, but once they did, the session flew by. Lingo Bingo was definitely a hit and something. There's so many acronyms that we've listed that we could continue to do this on a regular basis if we wanted to. So
agreed. And I think people like the swag. So the shirts were a hit. So thank you, Clayton.
Yes,
Clayton Seeley.
Clayton. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the poker chips went over really well, too. I know somebody was collecting a bunch of them as they were leaving. That was pretty funny.
It's awesome. I love it. I think that's great. I wonder if anybody tried to use them on the tables.
I hope not.
I know, right? What's this one worth? Nothing.
All right. Well, with that, so what is this week's Midwesternism?
So during our live episode, I kind of did, I'm going to say this word, hopefully it gets out of my mouth, kind of a Midwest colloquialism. See, that's a tough
that
one.
That was tough.
Yeah. So we're going to have another one. I'm going to have to think of a different descriptor for that phrase. I don't know.
That's colloquialism. Got it. We got Midwestern. We're into the colloquialism category now, okay, of Midwesternisms. All right.
Exactly. So this one after the conference, it's a bee in your bonnet. I have a bee in my bonnet. I'm obsessed with all the fun things that are out there, the widgets, enterprise modeler, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed. I can't stop thinking about it. So I have a bee in my bonnet to get these things.
Yes. Yes. To go off and to attack. You want to go attack. Awesome.
Exactly. So there you go.
Very cool. Love it. Very appropriate following blueprint. Well played.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought so. But, again, not everybody agrees with my sense of humor or how my thoughts sometimes flow.
Uh-huh. So, dun-dun.
Well played. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at thejdeconnection@questoraclecommunity.org. Don't forget, like or subscribe our podcast. We appreciate all that support. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest J.D. Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.